ever reaches the poor. Schlafly also sees the Global Poverty Act as advancing an undeclared but determined objective of Obama to place the United States under international controls, seriously compromising U.S. sovereignty. The Millennium Project is monitored by Jeffrey D. Sachs, an economist who directs the Earth Institute at Columbia University. Reviewing Sachs' book, The End of Poverty, New York University economics professor William Easterly severely criticized Sachs for being naive. Calling Sachs a utopian, Easterly ridiculed him, explaining that Sachs's plan covers just about everything in mind-numbing technical jargon, from planting nitrogen-fixing leguminous trees to replenishing soil fertility to anti-retroviral therapy for AIDS to specially programmed cell phones that provide real-time data to health planners to rainwater harvesting to battery charging stations, and so on. Easterly further noted Sachs's scheme proposed the UN Secretary General personally run the overall plan. In the end, Sachs's and Obama's scheme amounts to little more than resentment against the United States for the extent of economic development and standard of living enjoyed in this country. Conservative commentator Lee Carey called Obama the global candidate and concluded his goal was to cite multinational corporations as the leading exploiters of the world's poor, with Wall Street's favorites leading the pack. Examining where Obama has gotten most of his funds to run his 2008 presidential campaign reveals that hypocrisy is evidently not a fault Obama minds having. According to watchdog website OpenSecrets.org, Wall Street investment firms and U.S. law firms representing multinational U.S. corporations in their global operations lead the list of Obama bundling contributors. At the top of Obama's contributor list is Goldman Sachs, followed by UBS, J.P. Morgan Chase, Citigroup, Lehman Brothers, and Morgan Stanley. America's middle-class voters, already feeling the economic squeeze from globalization and the outsourcing of U.S. jobs to India and China, would probably not appreciate Obama's plan to increase taxes on U.S. citizens to pay for reducing world poverty through the United Nations. Their resentment could be expected to grow after realizing Obama himself liberally takes campaign contributions from the very investment bankers and law firms benefiting from globalization and outsourcing. In this context, Obama's railing against the rich appears little more than a leftist resentment traceable to his days in Hawaii and in college, smoking marijuana and drinking liquor while listening to the likes of aging communist poet Frank Marshall Davis railing against capitalism. Obama's patriotism. A photograph published by Time magazine during the Iowa Democratic primary showed Obama standing on stage in Indianola, Iowa, on September 17, 2007, during what the magazine identified as a Senator Tom Harkin steak fry. The magazine reported the national anthem was being played. Surprisingly, Obama was the only one in the photo who did not have his right hand over his heart. Obama stood there, his hands folded together casually in front of him. The story was picked up by Mark Finkelstein on the blog newsbuster.org. Finkelstein cited federal law, subtly making the point Obama lacked respect. According to U.S. Code Title 36, Chapter 10, Section 171, during rendition of the national anthem when the flag is displayed, all present, except those in uniform, should stand at attention, facing the flag, with the right hand over the heart. Finkelstein commented, "Does Obama perhaps believe that, like wearing the flag pin, the hand on the heart isn't true patriotism?" Obama explained, "I was taught by my grandfather that you put your hand over your heart during the pledge, but during the Star Spangled Banner, you sing." With one photo, the impression swept the country that somehow Obama did not share the pride in the United States that most Americans feel. Less than 3 weeks later, on October 4, 2007, Obama told ABC News he refused to wear a flag pin on his lapel because he wanted to maintain the purism of his opposition to the Iraq War. Was his failure to hold his hand over his heart another expression of his anti-war sentiments? Obama and his supporters may think it is not important to wear a flag pin or to hold his right hand over his heart while the national anthem is played. But try explaining that to the veterans and thousands of American families who have lost loved ones in this country's foreign wars, as well as those currently serving in the military. When the United States has its armed forces in the field of battle, a politician running for president raises many unnecessary questions by refusing to make simple expressions of devotion to the country he aspires to lead. To not do so risks alienating important voter segments, ones that Obama can ill afford to lose, especially when his opponent is John McCain, a Vietnam War prisoner. Even Obama will have to honor his rival as a legitimate war hero.